Welcome to episode 7 of the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Pallinger, as always with my co-host, Nate Schreiber.
How's it going, everyone? Today, we are going to talk about a big move the Bills made recently, along with some other free agency tidbits, some things we think the Bills may want to do when free agency starts on Wednesday. And with the legal tampering period opening tomorrow, we should start seeing some rumors tomorrow morning about what players may look to be going where at 4 p.m. on Wednesday. But first, Alex, we want to talk about the trade the Bills made with the Cleveland Browns. Tyrod Taylor for the 65th overall pick in the draft this year. What did you think about that?
You know, a lot of people are happy Tyrod moved on from the Bills, but it was more of just, it was time, I think. I'm not necessarily happy to see Tyrod go, but it was kind of a turning point in the franchise where, all right, Brandon Bean's a new GM, Sean McDermott's a new coach. They want to have their own crack at a quarterback. And I thought it was just a masterful job of getting, you know, the 65th overall pick for Tyrod Taylor before they would have had to pick up the bonus. I thought if they were going to get that kind of value for Tyrod, it would have came after they pick up that bonus. Well, what they would have picked up the bonus on March 16th, the third day of the league year. So I was just really impressed with Brandon Bean's ability to get that kind of value for Tyrod.
Yeah, I completely agree. I was absolutely blown away that they were able to get a third-round pick. I mean, basically a second-round pick. It's the first pick of the third round for Tyrod. I would have thought if he got traded before March 16th, I would have thought maybe they could get a fifth-round pick for him. Maybe. I am just very surprised. And you know, it's typical that it's the Browns that are doing this, because every time there's a head-scratching move made in this league, it seems like the Browns are involved in it.
Yeah, I mean, the Carucci reported that, you know, the Cardinals and Broncos were the other two suitors for Tyrod Taylor, and they offered significantly less than the Browns. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in those trade negotiations with Cleveland, just to see, you know, how Brandon Bean bluffed his way to the 65th overall pick.
Yeah, for sure. And we have to expect that at some point between Wednesday at 4 p.m. and Friday at whatever time Tyrod's roster bonus kicks in, that the Browns are going to do something to restructure his contract, whether they turn that roster bonus into a signing bonus or they do something to spread out the cost or extend Tyrod. I can't see them trading for Tyrod and then not extending him, at least for another year after this one. You give up a third-round pick for a quarterback, he's probably going to be your starting quarterback.
Yeah, you have to think, even if they draft quarterback, they're looking at Tyrod to be their bridge. A third-round pick is essentially a second-round pick. It's the first pick of the third round. And that's quite a price to pay for a guy that you only want for a year, so kind of intrigued to see what the Browns are going to do here. As always, the last couple of years, they've really kept people guessing, not in a good way. So, interested to see how that unfolds.
Yeah, I think it actually will end up helping the Bills, not just in terms of the personnel and moving on from Tyrod, but helping them when it comes to the draft, because I think that there's a very, very good chance now that Saquon Barkley is going to be the first overall pick. And that would give a team like the Bills the chance to move up to 2 or move up to 3 and pretty much have your choice of the top 6 quarterbacks.
Right, and from what I've seen, it doesn't sound like the Giants are looking at taking a quarterback. Of course, they could be bluffing. If they choose to stay there, you know, you're right, the Bills could have their pick of the litter of the quarterbacks at number 3, which costs less than to move up to 2. You know, the trade value chart, I'm not sure if our listeners have looked at it, but the value really starts to fall after those first couple picks. So, you know, I'm sure Brandon Bean's keeping that in mind with what he wants to do. If he wants to move up for a quarterback, of course you want to try to delay his quarterbacks coming off the board as long as you can. And you know, that might have been a heady play by them.
Yeah, so I will definitely be very curious to see what the Bills do. I wouldn't, in all honesty, be surprised if there was an announcement, if the Bills are going to move up, if they come to an agreement on that trade before the draft actually happens. That would not surprise me one bit. And I actually saw today on Twitter, I think, that someone had reported that they had a source that the Bills and the Colts were discussing that number three overall pick. Now, whether or not that's true, I'm not 100% sure, but it's definitely intriguing if they are, given that the Colts are most likely not going to draft a quarterback in that spot.
Right. And, you know, that's another thing to point out with that draft order. Is it worth it for the Bills to trade up to three unless you know Cleveland's going to take a quarterback there at four? So you could potentially even try to move up to Denver at five if you don't think Indy or Cleveland's going to take a quarterback. But there's also the chance that Cleveland could trade down from that fourth spot to someone else that wants a quarterback ahead of the Bills. So I'm sure Bean and McDermott are kind of going over as many scenarios as they can. There's no way to know how things are going to unfold on draft day. So I'm not sure if moving up now with the Colts is a great move, just because you don't know if someone could all of a sudden move up ahead of you at two on draft day, and then you don't have your pick at the litter. So, I don't know. There's a lot that can happen between now and the draft in 6 weeks.
And one thing that the Bills are going to have to do between now and the draft in 6 weeks is sign another quarterback. You can't go into the NFL draft with Nate Peterman as the only quarterback on your roster, and then I just can't see that happening. I have to imagine they're going to go sign a veteran of some sort, probably at the beginning of free agency, so the next, you know, week to 10 days type time frame. What are your thoughts about if you think they need to go get a quarterback, and what quarterbacks at this point fit in Buffalo?
So this is actually was going to be one of my ideal moves that we're going to talk about in a later segment in the pod, but I'll go ahead and spoil it now. I want Blaine Gabbert as the Buffalo Bills backup quarterback. Now, the guy gets a bad rap because he's kind of been on some terrible teams, but you know, we saw last year with the Cardinals that he's, you know, a competent NFL quarterback. It's not a guy you want to have as your starter without a championship roster around him, but it's definitely a good insurance policy. And, you know, the Bills have kind of had a knack the last year for signing those misfit guys that kind of get passed around the league, you know, like Jordan Poyer. And you know, I feel like Bean and McDermott and the players are starting to take pride in that identity. So I think Gabbert could be a good fit there.
You don't think Gabbert's going to end up back in Arizona?
It's hard to imagine Arizona not signing one of those big-name free agent quarterbacks or, you know, trading up in the draft for a guy. It's just, I can't see them paying a lot of money to keep Gabbert around. I'm not sure how much the Bills would have to pay him to pry him away from Arizona, but I don't know. If you're Gabbert, do you want to stay in Arizona, or do you want to go to a team like Buffalo that appears to be up and coming and building a roster, hopefully to compete for a championship in a couple of years?
Yeah, and I guess another thing to take into consideration is the coaching change in Arizona as well, and whether or not that would play a factor in Blaine Gabbert wanting to come back. The one thing that makes me think there's a chance he will is when he started playing quarterback for them, the Cardinals got a lot better last year, and I think he was like 4-2 as a starter in the last six games. And he brought the card. They won. What did they win? Four of their last six, or something? Three of their last four, and four of their last six. And they closed out the season really, really strongly. And he's in his prime, probably, as a quarterback. I think, what is he, 28 years old? And unless they can get one of those big name guys, I'd have to imagine they'd at least try to keep him on the roster for 2018.
Yeah, that's a good point, Nate. Who would you choose if you were having the Bills sign a guy presumably to be your backup? I think, you know, the ship has sailed on the Bills going after a free agent quarterback. It looks like they're trying to start fresh with a rookie. So who would you want as the backup?
Well, before he just signed that extension, I would have actually wanted Ryan Fitzpatrick back. But the other guy who I think would be actually perfect, and I think you could even sign him to a deal where there's something in there where he can be stay on the coaching staff when he retires, and build in incentives for him to work with the rookie. And given the work he's done in other locker rooms around the league, it doesn't seem like something too far-fetched to say. And it's an unkept secret that he wants to be a coach in the NFL when he's done playing. That's why I think Josh McCown would be a great signing for the Bills for a 1 or 2 year deal. And he could, if he needed to, he could start week one and kind of let the rookie work his way in there. He could be the backup the whole time and just work on teaching this young kid how to be an NFL quarterback. But I think he is a locker room fit and a talent fit given his cost.
Yeah, that's a good point, Nate. I completely forgot about Josh McCown. I mean, he's going to be like, what, 38 or 39 years old. But he's been a journeyman around the league. He's that mentor-type quarterback that would be good for a rookie. And let's be honest, he was pretty good for the Jets this year with what we thought was going to be the worst offense in the league. So, I mean, I think he doesn't get as much credit as he deserves. He's played on some pretty terrible teams. But to do what he did with the Jets last year is pretty impressive.
Yeah, exactly. It's obvious he can still play football at age 38 or 39, whatever he is. And even if he didn't, I mean, in an ideal world, you sign him, you draft a rookie, he probably doesn't play a snap this year, and the rookie does really well under his, with his help coaching and teaching him. But if he does have to play, you know he can go in there and he can play.
Yeah, so I think we can agree, Nate, that if they do sign a quarterback in free agency, I almost expect them to. It's going to be that type of veteran guy that's, you know, fringe starter, backup guy to kind of mentor the rookie. You don't see them spending any sort of money on a free agent bridge quarterback, do you? Because, I mean, they just had a bridge quarterback on the roster in Tyrod Taylor.
So I think this kind of goes with their philosophy in terms of quarterbacks in the draft. If they think, if they like, say they like one of the guys who it's consensus is going to go more mid to late first round, and they think they can stay put at 21 and get their guy there, I think them going out and signing a guy like Teddy Bridgewater is not out of the question, because you draft a guy at 21, it is more likely and more acceptable, I guess is the right way to put it, to sit him for a year. And you can go, if you go get a guy like Bridgewater who probably is going to sign a shorter deal, try and prove that he can still play after his injury, I think that could potentially make sense. But if you're going to trade up into the top 10, then no, you're not going to sign a guy to be a bridge. You're going to sign a guy to be a veteran, or a veteran guy to kind of be a mentor to the rookie.
Yeah, that makes sense. And like you said, if you choose to stay put at 21 and select a quarterback there, that's a lot lower risk than if you give up a ton of picks to move up into the top 5 for a quarterback. If you move into the top 5 for a quarterback and give up, you know, a significant amount of draft picks, you better be damn sure that that's the guy, because otherwise you set your franchise back 5 or 6 years if you whiff on that pick.
Yeah, and that's one of the risks you have to take as an NFL team, because the quarterbacks that succeed in this league do tend to be drafted in the top 5, top 10 of the draft. It's not as common. You see a guy fall beyond that and be successful. So that is the reason I personally hope the Bills trade up and go get their guy. Be confident, know who you want, and figure out how to get him on your team. That's kind of my opinion of what they should do in the draft. Now, what guy that is, I don't know, but that's where, the way I think they should go.
Yeah, and as we've seen from Brandon Bean's first year as the GM, he is not afraid to pull the trigger on a trade. You know, we had the shocker of Kelvin Benjamin, the Tyrod Taylor deal. I'm sure I'm forgetting other ones. The Sammy Watkins deal. This guy's not afraid to make a move he knows he wants to make. So I'd be willing to bet the Bills are trading up for a quarterback.
So looking at the top, let's say the top 10, thinking they're going to trade into the top 10. And as we go into free agency, which teams of those do you see, A, that need a quarterback, and B, that potentially fill that hole in free agency and kind of get out of the way for Buffalo?
So I think the most important thing from the Bills' perspective is for Kirk Cousins to sign anywhere but Minnesota. Because if he signs in Minnesota, that does nothing to help them with the draft order. That only makes teams like Denver and the Jets really need a quarterback up there at 5 and 6. So in a perfect world, if you're a Bills fan, you want Kirk Cousins to go sign with Denver or the Jets, because that clears another team out of there. I mean, if one of those two teams signs Kirk Cousins, then you basically have Cleveland maybe taking a quarterback at 1 or 4. The Giants seem to be trending towards not taking one. The Colts aren't taking one. Tampa Bay is not taking one. Chicago is not taking one. San Francisco is not taking one. Oakland's not taking one. All of a sudden, you're outside the top 10 for teams that would even be thinking about taking a quarterback. So I guess then you have to worry about other teams moving up in front of you to draft one. So, I mean, there's just a lot hinges on Kirk Cousins, strangely.
Yeah, that was the exact name I was going to talk about. He's going to be the first domino to fall, I think, come the start of free agency, because most teams in the league are either waiting on him to decide whether or not they're going to play for him, or waiting to see where he goes so they can figure out what the market's going to be set at and go find their guy.
Yeah, another thing I've been thinking about is this Tyrod Taylor trade doesn't go official until Wednesday at 4 o'clock when the league year starts, correct?
That is correct, yes.
So, hypothetically, the Browns could decide, wow, that was a dumb move, we don't want to go through with this now. Or they could pull another Browns move and forget to submit the paperwork. But you know, we just have to hope that that type of scenario doesn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't see that happening. They've agreed to, what, like 3 trades that aren't official yet in the last 72 hours?
4 or 5, I think.
Yeah, and who knows if they're going to agree to another one before Wednesday. So they have a lot of trades, and it's a new regime, and I think they're trying to at least show the league that they're serious about dealing and they're not going to make any dumb mistakes like they did with the A.J. McCarron debacle. But that would really – if any team was going to screw that up, it would be the Browns.
Would there be a more Browns-ier and Bills-ier thing to happen than for somehow this trade to get botched?
There are not two teams in the league, two other teams in the league that anything like this ever happens to. So no, I would not be surprised in the slightest.
So sorry, I kind of derailed your original question there. What are the teams you see in the top 10 that could, or maybe moving into the top 10 that are threats to, you know, the Bills getting the guy they want?
Well, teams that need quarterbacks in the draft this year: Cleveland, maybe the Giants, Denver, the Jets, Washington, maybe.
Well, they got Alex Smith. Well, if that trade goes through, they have Alex Smith.
And that might be it.
Arizona.
Arizona's another one. And there are some other teams in the draft that will probably draft a quarterback, but they're not teams that are really threats to go get one of those top 6 guys. So that's why, like we said, it's important to see where Kirk Cousins goes. And like Alex said, Kirk Cousins not going to Minnesota would be huge. Unless the team he goes to is Arizona or something. But if we just want a route for him to go to either Denver or the Jets, and that just takes one of the teams in front of you out of the picture for drafting one of those top six quarterbacks, and it gives you another position to try and move up to.
Yeah, so another name that, as soon as I saw the Tyrod Taylor trade, that told me Cordy Glenn's on the chopping block to get traded. And I'm just curious, do you think that trade's going to go down this week? Or are the Bills going to eat that bonus that they have to pay him and maybe try to move up on draft day with him as a package with some picks?
Well, I think it's probably a similar situation to Tyrod Taylor. They're probably at least fielding calls and seeing what the value is with the money attached, and if they can find the value with that money still attached to his contract that makes sense, then you probably move on from him. If not, you pay him that bonus. His value probably goes up slightly because the team you're trading him to has to pay him less money. And I think if it gets to that point, you're going to hold him for as long as you can and try and use him as ammunition to move up to the spot you want to get to.
Yeah, I don't see Cordy Glenn as a standalone trade for a draft pick. It doesn't make a lot of sense because a lot of those teams in the top 10 or 15 picks need a left tackle, and the Bills are in a strange position where a lot of the league, you know, needs good offensive linemen. They have two good left tackles, and, you know, it doesn't make sense to hold on to Cordy Glenn, his cap hit in Buffalo, but there's definitely teams that aren't quarterback needy but left tackle needy where they might value that a little bit more on draft day if the Bills, you know, want to package one of the first round picks, you know, one of the seconds or thirds, and Cordy Glenn, you know, that could lessen the cost in terms of draft assets to move up.
Yeah, and that's something I think especially to look at if Kirk Cousins signs with Denver. Denver needs a left tackle. And if Kirk Cousins signs with them, the Bills become an even more logical trade partner to go up to five, because Denver needs a left tackle. The Bills have a left tackle to give. So the partnership just kind of makes sense.
Yeah, and I wouldn't count out Cleveland, depending on what they do, if the Bills want to trade up to four, because, you know, I'm not sure if Joe Thomas is completely committed to coming back next year, but you have to think he's kind of at the end of his run. So they could use Cordy Glenn as well to kind of beef up that offensive line.
I just can't see management in Cleveland not picking a quarterback with one of those first two picks they have. I feel like the fan base would just go absolutely insane if they didn't draft a quarterback in the top five of the draft.
If there is a team to defy all reason, it is the Cleveland Browns. So we'll have to see how that plays out. So, Nate, now I think people are probably going to start hearing some of the free agent talk. We're recording this Sunday night, March 11th, around 9 p.m. So if anything happens Monday morning, Monday afternoon, our goal is to get this up Monday morning. If anything happens before then, you know, we're sorry we didn't beat the news, but if you can make three moves with the Bills cap space that they have from getting rid of Tyrod now, what are you doing? And so what's your first move?
So my first move is to figure out who I'm going to sign at quarterback. And so I would sign Josh McCown. That would be the first thing I would do when free agency starts, is sign Josh McCown.
All right, so you have lots of cap space to work with now. Not a ton, but you can make a splash signing. Are you making a splash signing?
I really, really would like to see the Bills go get Nigel Bradham. Bring him back to Buffalo. He was one of the best cover linebackers in the NFL. He's only 28 years old. The Bills need a cover linebacker. He fits in the defense. He's played for Buffalo before. I think it just makes too much sense not to happen.
All right. And move number three.
Move number three is signing Paul Richardson. It seems like the Seahawks are not going to be re-signing him. That's the vibe I've been getting. And he's coming off his best season he's had as a pro. I mean, it wasn't a great season. I mean, he had 44 catches for about 700 yards and 6 touchdowns. But he's a speed guy. He's still only 25 years old. The Bills are a wide receiver needy team, and they really could use a speed guy on the outside. And I think Paul Richardson fits that pretty well.
I think those are three solid moves, Nate, and you're definitely right about needing a wide receiver with speed. They have, you know, Zay has some speed, but he's not a guy that's going to burn you down the field. They need a guy that's going to, you know, blow the top off the defense. Now, Deontay Thompson was sort of that, but I mean, he's not the quality of player that Paul Richardson is. And, you know, from all the advanced analytics and charting, the Bills wide receivers were the worst in the NFL at getting separation. And, you know, you just can't have that with a rookie quarterback if he's starting. You don't ideally want to give that to a guy like Josh McCown either. You want to make it easier for your quarterback. So get a guy like Richardson that can take the top off the defense, you know, allow Benjamin and, say, Jones to work underneath and, you know, get those possession catches to move the sticks.
Yeah, and my consolation prize at wide receiver, if Paul Richardson doesn't come to Buffalo, is Marquise Lee from Jacksonville. I think they're very similar style players. Marquise Lee obviously has had better statistics in his 4 years in the league and is going to be probably more expensive, which is why I lean toward Paul Richardson. But Marquise Lee would be certainly be an upgrade, a similar type upgrade to the Buffalo wide receiving core.
So I know you've been high on a guy like Dante Moncrief before. Does he not fit that kind of mold that you think the Bills need now on offense?
I really like Dante Moncrief, and I wanted the Bills to trade for him last year. At the same time, after they traded for Kelvin Benjamin, not that Dante Moncrief and Kelvin Benjamin are the same player, but the Bills are badly, badly needing a guy with speed down the field that can get behind defenses and open up the field for the Bills quarterback and let guys like Zay Jones and Kelvin Benjamin have room to work underneath. And I don't think Dante Moncrief fits that mold that the type of wide receiver the Bills need to add to the roster.
Yeah, I see Dante Moncrief more as a Robert Woods when he was in Buffalo type of guy. Just, you know, not going to burn you down the field. Just going to get those 8 to 10 yard catches at a time, you know, kind of a safety blanket.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And you saw Robert Woods had a really, really good year in L.A. this year. And I think he's one guy that I hope the Bills do as well, regret letting him walk out the door.
All right. So you ready for move number one if I'm the GM of the Buffalo Bills tomorrow?
So if you're the GM of the Buffalo Bills on Wednesday at 4 p.m., who are you signing?
I'm going for Dontari Poe immediately. Thinking like a 3-year, $20 to $25 million deal that just checks one of the most immediate needs they have at defensive tackle. It gets it off the board immediately. You know, I know Brandon Bean seems to be obsessed with that comp pick formula, but let's be honest, a guy like Poe is a lot more valuable than a comp pick in the third round at like number 100 overall in 2019.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. 100%. And I do think the defensive tackle is one of the positions that it's most important to address for next year. And I do think, like we've talked about in previous episodes, that Dontari Poe fits what the Bills do need and what they do at defensive tackle pretty well.
All right. So second move. You ready?
Second move. What are we doing?
We're making a splash signing a wide receiver with Allen Robinson.
So, here I love Allen Robinson. I think he's a great player. He was someone who I was contemplating putting on my list of three players, but the one thing that kind of turned me off: injury history. He tore his ACL week one and missed the entire year, and I was worried about his injury history combined with how the Bills value availability.
Right. So I understand those reservations. You know, I think of more, like, when it comes to availability, I think of issues with guys like EJ Gaines with, you know, those reoccurring soft tissue injuries, like pulled groins and pulled hamstrings. That, to me, screams more injury prone than a guy that just has a freak accident and tears his ACL. We saw Keenan Allen tear his ACL in week one of 2016. It took him a while to get going this past season, but he was just dominant over the second half of the season. And I think Allen Robinson's much better, not much better, but a better wide receiver than Keenan Allen. And I don't know, maybe he comes at a bit of a discount because of the ACL injury. So, I don't know, if we're talking about value and you can get a guy that in 2015 put up numbers similar to DeAndre Hopkins and AJ Green, if you can get him on a bit of a discount for 3 or 4 years, he's only going to be 25 years old. I think that's just a good move.
Yeah, I can tell you that I for sure would not be upset if I saw the news pop up on my phone on Wednesday that Allen Robinson signed a deal in Buffalo. That would definitely get me excited. So you've had two pretty big splash-type signings. Now, how much money do you anticipate having left after these two signings?
So, correct me if I'm wrong. I can't remember exactly what the cap room is estimated at now. I think it's about $31 million with Tyrod Taylor off the roster. Is that correct?
That is correct. I think I read $33 million, give or take, they're going to have in cap space. This is depending on Eric Wood and what ends up happening with his contract.
Yeah, and I think that $31 million accounts for the rookie contracts they're going to take on with the picks that they have right now, too. So I think probably $18 million-ish is gone off the table with Dontari Poe and Allen Robinson right there, depending on how you structure that. I think Cordy Glenn's on his way out the door, so that's going to save, you know, several more million dollars. I covered it in the offensive line pod. I can't remember the exact savings. There's a bunch of different scenarios there. But I gave it away earlier in the pod. I'm signing Blaine Gabbert as my third option here, not a more affordable contract.
So when you sign Blaine Gabbert, what do you tell him in terms of what his opportunity is going to be and what you want him to, what you foresee his role being, what you want him to do in Buffalo, and how long do you sign him for?
So I think if you were correct earlier on his age at 28, I'm thinking, you know, maybe a 3-year, $10 million deal. That might be fair for a guy that's, you know, anticipated to be your backup, but can be your starter. Now, he's certainly not going to get paid like Nick Foles, but I think you tell him, you know, you're going to get to mentor this rookie quarterback. If he's not ready, you're our starter. And if anything happens to that quarterback over the next few years, you're our Nick Foles. You know, we're trying to build a championship roster around us. And, you know, we think we can build that type of roster in the next 2 years where you can succeed no matter what. So if you want to take a bit of a discount and maybe not try to be a starter somewhere else, this is the place for you.
And I think that pitch makes perfect sense. If he goes out and doesn't find any other team in the league that's going to tell him you're our starter week one, which I don't think he's going to find that. But if he does find that, all the power to it. All the power to him. Good luck. You're not going to find that in Buffalo. I think that would be a good pitch, though. I think one of the things with him is because of his age and the success he had at the end of the year last year, he's probably going to be looking for maybe not necessarily financially, but at least some sort of guarantee that he can at least be the starter week one, or, you know, compete for the job week one, be in some sort of competition where if you do draft a rookie, that's not guaranteed the rookie's going to start week one of his rookie year.
Right. And also, I'm not really familiar with Blaine Gabbert, who he is like as a competitor. I know Tyrod Taylor turned down more money from Denver before the 2015 season to come to Buffalo because he knew he could come here and win the starting job. And, you know, at the time, people thought of him as the third string quarterback behind Matt Castle and EJ Manuel, and he went in there and won the job. So if Blaine Gabbert has that type of mentality that, hey, I'm going to go somewhere where no one thinks I have a chance and I'm going to be the starter week one, you know, I could see him going, I don't know, to another team that misses on free agent quarterbacks and kind of picks later in the draft. But, you know, if he is content with that Nick Foles kind of role, I could see him being interested in Buffalo.
Yeah, I will be very interested to see what they do at the quarterback position. I think it's super important that they go and they get a quarterback early in free agency, and they get a guy that they are comfortable with, that kind of buys into their process, trusts the process, if you will, and understands what his role is going to be as a Buffalo Bill. And I'm assuming what the Bills are looking for is someone who can be a mentor and then play if needed, not necessarily come in and play in week one.
So, Nate, we kind of played our little fantasy game where we got to make three big moves. In reality, Brandon Bean's probably looking at that cap space and the comp pick formula and saying, you know what, we don't want to make any splash signings. If we do, maybe one. So I think, do you think we're going to see the Bills just make a lot of smaller signings? Or do you think we're going to see a splash signing?
I think it's really hard for me to know, because every time Brandon Bean talks to the press, he says pretty much nothing in a lot of words. And it can be very difficult to see, kind of get into his head. But like you said, with the comp picks, they've certainly been mindful of the comp pick formula, and it's something that they think about when they're making moves. If there's a guy out there that they are absolutely in love with, and they're like, this guy's going to start for us, he's going to be a great player for us next year, then they might go make a bigger signing. But I don't see them making multiple bigger signings, and that's part of why I think Josh McCown is a good option at quarterback, because he's not going to count. Most likely not going to count in the comp pick formula because his contract is probably not going to be big enough.
Right, and a lot of it hinges on what they want to do with Preston Brown. I think we both agree that EJ Gaines is gone. There's no shot he's back in Buffalo. But if the Bills do want to make one signing around $7 or $8 million a year, I can see that happening if they let Preston Brown walk, because you're still getting a comp pick for EJ Gaines.
Yeah, for sure. If Preston Brown's not coming back, it's way more likely that they make some sort of a splash signing. But if Preston Brown gets signed back, you can forget about any kind of big signing, in my opinion.
Yeah, and so I know we've covered all the positions in our previous pods leading up to free agency, but if they do make the one big splash signing, where do you think Bean and McDermott are looking to make it, given the needs on the team?
I think if Kyle Williams is retiring, and I don't know what he's thinking about right now, but the Bills obviously need him to make a decision before free agency, so the next couple of days here. And if he's not coming back, defensive tackle, I think. Because if Kyle Williams isn't coming back, they don't have really a starting defensive tackle at all on the roster. And there's enough good available, fairly young defensive tackles on the market that one of them can probably be the contract can be worked out that can get them to fit in Buffalo.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Nate. Even if Kyle Williams does come back, I don't think you're comfortable just rolling in with Kyle Williams and a guy you draft. I mean, you know, Kyle Williams probably has 1 year left in the tank, max. So even if he is coming back, I see them signing a defensive tackle, whether it be, you know, a bigger signing like Poe or Star Latulule, or, you know, otherwise it could be maybe a smaller signing. But you know, I think Poe or Star Latulule make a lot of sense regardless of what the Bills do at defensive tackle with Kyle Williams.
Yeah, both of those guys make a really good amount of sense. They both fit the style of defensive tackle that the Bills would need. Another guy who is a guy who, if you're trying to maybe not count with the comp pick formula, maybe his value won't be enough for it, or you're trying to really go on the cheap side of things, is Haloti Ngata, who is another guy kind of like Kyle Williams at the end of his career, but he played good football in Detroit before he got hurt last year, and he'd come very, very cheap.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, anywhere you can find value, even if it's for just one season, it makes sense. And, you know, Kyle Williams does come back, you can have those two older guys and a rookie working in there, you know, kind of give those guys some plays off. That would make a lot of sense. What would you say the next position group would make the most sense for them to add, you know, a bigger signing if it's not defensive tackle?
If we're talking a bigger signing, I would say probably wide receiver. Probably wide receiver, maybe linebacker. I think there are wide receivers available, like Allen Robinson and Paul Richardson, who I'd both consider more splash signings. Even Marquise Lee, I consider a bigger name signing for the Bills. And then, I mean, linebacker, you have Nigel Bradham, I just think he fits so well that him alone being available at linebacker makes it a possibility that the Bills will go that route.
Yeah, I think those are both pretty good guesses. The one thing, if they do decide to go with wide receiver, we've said, you know, throughout several pods here, they need a 1A type of wide receiver. And I think there's only a couple of guys that check that box, and that's Allen Robinson and Josh Gordon, but I don't think Josh Gordon has a shot of being on a Sean McDermott team. So that's why I went with Allen Robinson there as my second choice for a splash signing in Buffalo. I think it makes a lot of sense if you're trying to make it easy for, you know, maybe a veteran quarterback like Josh McCown or Blaine Gabbert for a year, and then have your rookie have two really good wide receivers to throw to, and Calvin Benjamin and Allen Robinson.
Yeah, I think, I mean, adding, they have to add another wide receiver somewhere, whether it's free agency or in the draft, because what they have at wide receiver right now just isn't good enough. Obviously, if you get a superstar quarterback, they'll make the receivers better, look better, but what they have in the room right now just is not good enough, and I would hope that they address that come either this week or April.
Yeah, I think that position group is definitely going to be addressed. And, you know, it looks like there could be a decent amount of depth at wide receiver in the draft. Maybe not as much as the last few years, but there could be, you know, a steal in there where all of a sudden you've got yourself a 1A type of guy where a lot of people didn't think he was going to be.
Yeah, and the most important thing to look at regarding that is where the quarterbacks end up going. Those six quarterbacks are going to kind of determine how the rest of the draft plays out, and a run on quarterbacks, if the Bills are trading up into the first round, a run on quarterbacks where other teams are really all flying up to get into the top 10 to get a quarterback could end up being a good thing, given that the Bills have so many picks in the first four rounds. What do they have, 7 picks in the first 4 rounds?
Yeah.
And though they have a lot of, even if they trade both those first round picks, they still have a lot of drafting left to do.
All right, Nate. So, Sunday night, free agency starts tomorrow. Are you excited?
I'm excited as I've been for a Monday in a while. I guess it's one thing to look forward to coming out of the weekend, I suppose.
Yeah. So hopefully we can get you amped up on Monday morning as you're listening to this. Waiting for those notifications to start flying across that the Bills are maybe making some moves. So that brings us to an end of episode 7 of the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I'm your co-host, Alex Pallinger.
And I am Nate Schreiber. Subscribe, download, give us 5 stars wherever you get your podcast so others can give it a listen as well. Check us out on Twitter at @Bills_Breakdown and Facebook at Bills Breakdown, where we will post some of our thoughts we have over the next week. The 10 days here as the legal tampering period and free agency get going, especially every time the Bills make a move, you will hear from us @Bills_Breakdown on Twitter and @Bills_Breakdown on Facebook. Thanks for listening.